Hello and welcome to the 11th episode of the Design and Marketing Podcast with your host, Rob Cubbon. Hello, how are you doing? It's good to see you back again. I'm so stoked about this episode of the Design and Marketing Podcast. It's unbelievable. I'm living in London town, the greatest little capital city in England, and the weather has been fantastic this weekend. It's nearly the last weekend in April, and the spring has finally arrived, and people who were hitherto looking down in their overcoats, bumping into you on the street, grimacing, snarling, and generally looking unpleasant, have suddenly turned into zen-like goddesses of blissed out, calm, happy splendour. And we're sitting on the corner of the street with our frappuccinos outside cafes, trying to look clever with our iPhones, iPads, MacBook Pros, tablets, whatever, newspapers and books. And it really has been a great weekend. I hope you've enjoyed it. And I just have to ask you once more to go onto the site and click the link onto the podcast and then open iTunes and click on ratings and reviews and leave us a review at the Design and Marketing Podcast. And that would be fan-dabby-dozy. Thank you very much. So I can't think of anything better to do than to hand you over to this episode's fantastic interview. Today we have David Cousins from CoolSurface.com. Now, David is an illustrator, comes from a part of the industry that's very different to mine. As you know, I'm a print graphic designer turned web designer turned marketer with very little talent, whereas David Cousins is very talented. And I have to thank Karen Marish, Nay McDade, for introducing me to him. Now, what's great about David is that he's found clients and set up his business in a way that was different to mine. And this is what's great about doing these interviews, because I was always very suspicious about finding work on social media, because I found social media very useful for a lot of things, networking and education being the main two, I think. However, I have never really found a client through social media, Twitter or anything. I think I might have found the odd one. I've certainly been recommended through social media. I just think that the recommendations maybe were seeds that fell upon stony ground and didn't result in much. However, David has had a totally different experience from this. I think social media is a good place to find work if you do it right. And David talks a lot about that. But that's not all we talk about, although I have put that in the title of the blog post, but that was only for SEO purposes, because, you know, I'll do anything for traffic. But anyway, we talk about working from home. We actually talk about RSI at some point. We talk a lot about the processes, design, marketing, websites, all that sort of good stuff. And it was really great to talk to him. He was really fantastic. And we got another great answer to my final question at the end there, which everyone gives a great answer to be fair. But David was certainly no exception. It was a fantastic answer to the question, what advice would you give somebody starting out or somebody who's been in the business for 2 years wanting to take things to the next level? So I think without further ado, I shall hand you over to the great David Cousins from CoolSurface.com, illustrator extraordinaire. Thank you. So hello David, nice to meet you. I'd love to know how you got into illustration in the first place.
I suppose I've always been one to enjoy drawing. It's always been something I've done, and when I was very, very young, I realised in school that if I added a picture to something, then I'd get a much higher grade.
Oh.
And so it did deliver a praise, naturally went from there. But I drifted away from illustration for a long time, and eventually came back to it in my early 20s, rather, and took an illustration degree, and then didn't do anything for a couple of years because I was a bit afraid of it, I suppose, of the possible failure or rejection. And then in 2005, I met the girl who would become my wife, Sarah. And then that really got me focused, and then I started to do it properly. And I suppose I started from there and then started to get my work out into places to make sure it could be seen. And everything snowballed from there, really.
Okay. Yeah, well, actually, your wife, Sarah, does seem... You do seem to be a team with her in your business. And a lot of the illustrations... Sorry, excuse me.
That's right.
I know, it's all right. I'll cut that bit out. A lot of the illustrations on your site are of the pair of you, actually, and that's a very interesting side to what you do. But so can I go back to the stage where you started doing it more seriously and you put your work out there? How did you do that initially, and what was the feedback?
Oh, sorry, don't get lag.
You started, so I'll wait for you to finish.
Okay. I'd spent a lot of time hesitating, and I was always constantly trying to prepare myself for this sort of perfect portfolio of artwork. And eventually, I realised, no, I've actually got to just jump in and do this. And so I started to put my work out into various magazine forums and things. Advanced Photoshop magazine had a peer pressure section, which the people would volunteer their work for, and I put my work up there. And within a space of the afternoon, actually, the editor contacted me, and she said she'd seen my artwork online, and she actually asked if I could submit my stuff properly to the magazine. And I was quite pleased that I didn't realise that she'd actually put it in for the best of show. For the all the new peer pressure that month for the exposure section, and then she instantly commissioned me to do a tutorial for the following month's magazine, mm-hmm. which was good. And back when Digital Arts was called Digit Magazine, I'd also submitted to their their showcase section, and it was complete potluck. Because that actually got me picked up by Macmillan Publishing, which that resulted in, initially it was just it was supposed to be just a test spread for a book, but then that book got picked up straight away, and then that snowballed into four books very quickly.
Oh, wow.
Which ever since then it's been various networking.
Yeah, so Advanced Photoshop Magazine and Digit at the time. Were they the online versions or the
No, it was, well, for Advanced Photoshop Magazine, initially it was the place I put stuff up, was on the forums. But then, the editor got in touch to immediately say, can you send some stuff so we can put it in print?
Right.
And Digital Arts Magazine, it's become so much easier when email really, really kicked off.
Yeah.
Because I then sent everything across to Digital Arts Magazine. Like I said, it was completely just on the off chance. Mm-hmm. And then they picked it up, and I got an email a little bit later asking for the files to be sent in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it helps to have a good product, I think, in I'm sure there's plenty of people who've sent off, who've uploaded their artwork to various forums, and it's stayed there, and unfortunately nobody's picked it up, nobody's noticed, and then in a week's time it's sort of yesterday's news. But... you know, obviously there was something about your work that the editors liked and then the publishers liked, and that was great. It must have been a great moment for you after you had a few sort of moments of wanting to get everything perfect and everything like that. So how did you feel when you were getting the commissions from Macmillan's?
It was a relief, to be honest. Me and my wife had discussed initially that we knew we wanted to settle down and have kids, but I also wanted to have a go at starting my career because I just knew I'd always have to try it. And so we'd basically decided to take a year of poverty and then just see how it went. We had enough money together between us and wanted to start it properly. And so it was lovely to first off receive even just an attention from the magazines, which was nice enough there was a lovely feeling of seeing them in print, like going down to W. H. Smith's, picking them up. But then, when we got the first big book contract off the back of appearing in Digit, that was really something when I received the email that said, we'd like to offer you a four-book contract for X amount of money. I just sat down, read it, and I went, okay, so we're doing this properly now then. And then I thought, so I went down, got a cup of tea, and then took 10 minutes before I replied.
Yeah, no, nice one. So after that, then, presumably you were into your year of poverty, and how did things progress from there? Did you have a website at that stage?
Oh yes, absolutely. I was quite fortunate in that my dad had given me a fair bit of advice before when I decided to do things properly. And that was one of the things he really insisted. He said, you've got to get your own website. And he said, it's got to be a .com. It's got to be something which looks like a proper website so people won't turn you away as soon as they see something from a free website.
Yeah.
Or an email from hotmail.com.
Yeah.
And it was good because my university hadn't placed any emphasis on any marketing at all. There was nobody was told to make a website or to have an online presence. And my dad had sort of suggested, look, these are the things you want to get sorted first. And so if you search into, there is still a very old version of my website from way back when, still lurking somewhere. But it was one of the things I always thought was quite important. I learned a lot as I went on.
Yeah.
My initial websites were quite badly done and cobbled together from code, which I didn't hugely understand.
Yeah.
And not very good on the user interface experience. But it's got better over time, and yeah, certainly it's one thing I've always been sure to have is my website and to be reachable.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's very important as a freelancer.
Yeah, it's a nice .com. As you say, I think that was good advice from your dad. It's a nice .com, coolsurface.com, which is easily memorable. And your surname, Cousins, and people people might have a difficulty with spelling for that. So it's probably a good idea you went for coolsurface.com. And as you say, I was just about to say that. I shouldn't think it exists anymore. But I seem to remember having a really weird long web address that at one point it was about that long and it was free. And I remember starting with that before I got robcubbin.com. So, that is definitely something you want to do sooner rather than later. That's for sure.
Yes.
So what were you about to say?
Yeah, the only mistake I made was that I wish I'd have Googled the term first. Cool Surface, because I did end up, I get most of my traffic from my surname now, funnily enough, because there was a film which I hadn't heard of called The Cool Surface.
Right.
Which was which is only famous for Terry Hatcher of Superman and Desperate Wives fame.
Right.
Having a topless scene in it. And so I constantly lose traffic thanks to that. It's a killer.
Oh, right, okay. Well,
I've spent so much time with the name now, I can't change it.
Yeah, no, that's a good bit of advice, yeah. I mean, it's a good idea to Google a domain name before you buy it. So that's true. Well, I'm sure maybe one day you'll be more famous than Terry Hatcher's tits, anyway. And you're also quite active in other sort of free areas of the web, like Tumblr and Behance, of course, as well. I mean, did that come along straight away, or do you do that after or at the same time? And how do you find traffic and interest coming from those sorts of sites?
They've all had various benefits to them, I suppose, that you're getting different crowds from different areas. And so I found that social media has been fantastic for me, to be honest. Right. It's been really, really useful. I found Twitter was amazing for networking. Mm-hmm. And as you know yourself, it can be quite an isolated experience working by yourself a lot of the time, and so it's harder to network, especially if you've got projects on and you can't necessarily go to various functions. Twitter got me in contact with a lot of illustrators who I respected and liked, And that in turn got me actually dislinked into Behance. I got invited to the Mighty Pencil, which is a group of illustrators who are pretty well known. And we're launching, it'll be tomorrow actually, the Mighty Pencil's launching a specific Behance portfolio, so which should hopefully get us a nice lot of notice. But each one's different. I've had, Twitter's been quite nice for establishing relationships with people. It's been very good.
And can I ask you, what? I mean, obviously, there were illustrators on Twitter that you knew and you liked and you admired. What did you just sort of tweet them and say, yeah, hi, I'm David, you know, have a look at some of my illustrations? Or what did you do?
I took a slightly different tack because I didn't want to, you don't want to seem too eager with people. I use the mentality of, I suppose I'd best describe it as like the way that you'd, if you were in a pub and you're having a conversation and you heard a conversation that you liked, right, you'd then just sort of ease into it. So you could just make a comment and it wouldn't be too in your face, or too, like, suddenly everybody felt, okay, I've got to talk to the new person. It's just, I'd make a sort of remark or something in a sort of, in a way that added to the conversation without necessarily needing acknowledgement. And then just slowly, naturally started to talk to people.
Right.
And then back in Twitter's earlier days, back when the Follow Friday had a relevance to it, it was, you'd quite often then one of your new friends would mention you and then you get a whole bunch of new follows. And then soon enough, you'd realize that a lot of you were in the same conversations anyway on Twitter. And so that it sort of organically developed that way, I suppose.
Right, yeah.
It was
right,
very useful.
Yeah. And so with other, you were mentioning some of the other social networks, having different types of people or different types of connections, have they worked for you, or what differences have you noticed from Twitter?
One example I can think of would be Tumblr. Tumblr's been a weird thing, and it's made me more internet famous, for lack of a better description. It's not been so good for clients as such,
mm-hmm,
but I've had things can go viral very readily on Tumblr.
Right.
And I've had you never know quite what's going to do it, but I had a Super Mario image I drew. Just, it was supposed to be for a test for a magazine, but the actual thing fell through, so I posted it anyway. And last checked about a couple of months ago, but it had over 11,000 likes and reblogs. And it just went crazy. Oh, and that sort of thing, although I don't find it does translate so well into clients from Tumblr.
Yeah.
I do have instances where I was recently talking to somebody on Twitter and he was working for the same client as me. And he suddenly looked across and he said, wait, you're David Cousins. And I said, yeah, and he said, wow, I said, I've seen your stuff. And he got all excited then, and it's really funny, seeing it on various sites. Because it tends to, stuff like that gets picked up by more, I do a lot of, I suppose, geek culture stuff. A lot of computer game-based stuff, a few sort of bits of sci-fi work. And sites, these sites like Kotaku.com picked up my images from there, and then that causes a lot of, again, I suppose, not renowned, that sounds far too important, but you get recognised for stuff.
Yeah, as you were saying, well, internet famous rather than, I think that's a, there really isn't a word for it, probably. There isn't a word that exists to say what you're trying to say. Or, well, I'm pretty sure I understand what you're saying, because it may not be sort of, as you say, a client. It may not be a client getting in touch with you, but it is notoriety, for want of a better word.
It's notoriety, like, yeah.
It's some sort of, I believe it's not, none of it's bad. You know, I mean, I don't think there's such a thing as bad notoriety on the internet. Well, there probably is, but I mean, I doubt it happened to either of us. But it's, you're getting in front of eyeballs. And, if those eyeballs may not be your clients, that's not always a bad thing, because the eyeballs will then remember you at a later date, and maybe something else will happen as a result of it, and you never know. So I always think that, you know, all sorts of publicity is good. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Oh, no, absolutely.
The expression is, and, you know, I mean, I have certain blog posts on my site that would, that people just, I mean, I have a free 2013 calendar that you can download, and over the years it's got quite high on Google. So if thousands of people just go to my site, download this calendar, and go, never to return. And I always think, well, you know, there's no way I'm going to get a job, you know, as doing the artwork of a calendar, which is the most boring job ever. So, I mean, I don't really want to. But I just think it's kind of useful in one of those calendars one day will have my name on it, and somebody will see it and think, oh, that's that guy who did this, blah, blah, blah. And one day something might happen.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's interesting.
Yeah,
interesting about Tumblr as well. It's a very visual. It's a very visual site, and I think your work really, really, really must benefit Tumblr, or Tumblr must benefit your work. And 11,000 likes. I mean, that's quite incredible, because that's not views. That's like that's in terms of views, that's multiplied exponentially, isn't it? So that is quite
Yeah, because it's either counts, it means either they've liked it, which then I think it shows up somehow on their page, but or reblogs, which is, I mean, the reblogs are the killers.
Yeah.
So those are the ones when I've had there was one site called Geek Art, they reblogged mine, I think it got to about 300 or something, and then overnight it doubled. And this is back in the time before when I had my Tumblr settings to send me an email each time this was happening. And so I just turned on my email and said, oh my God, I've been hacked. I just had so many emails coming in. I was like, wait, what the hell's going on? And then suddenly I realized it was all either likes or reblogs. And so that was quite nice.
Yeah.
Whereas I've not just been suffering a spam attack.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you weren't suffering a spam attack. So I don't want to spend too long on social media, but I'd still like to ask you more about it, actually. I wonder, you also do Blogspot. Are you on G+, are you on Google Plus? And what else can you say about social media? Because the reason I ask is that Google Plus is quite good for photography, but because it has quite a big, if you post a picture, an image, you can see it quite nice and big compared to Facebook and a lot of other places. So I wondered how you were doing on there and what you were doing there, if you were there, and anything else about social media while we're on the subject.
Google Plus is an interesting one. I think I don't know how useful I found it, but I have... I did find that with obviously Google's habit of tying everything in together, I do have a presence on there, because anytime I update my blog, my Blogspot blog, that then gives me the option to instantly post. So I've been a bit more mercenary there, I suppose, in that I've not really given much back on Google Plus. For people who follow me, I've not been on the site for quite some time. But occasionally, like, you'll find like a message will pop up in the side of your internet browser, and you find that somebody's appreciated something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things. I think every time some new social media turns up, I'll take a quick look and see if it benefits me in some way, and if it's easy to update. I think that's the key thing for me. Is if it's easy to update, I'll keep doing it. And if it's something I get back a lot, only Twitter is probably my preferred social networking. And Facebook I do because there's so many people on Facebook.
Yeah.
I mean, as you touched on, the image sharing on Facebook is never good. It's, which really, really bugs me, because it's not, I mean, all of my JPEGs always optimized, but then your Facebook, they still come down like grainy, and it's all like, you think there's no need for this. So that's irksome. But then I have now, initially it was just my friends liked it, but now I see names who I don't recognise liking my site, and so it's like, well, that's fair enough. It's obviously doing something and reaching people.
Yeah.
But I suppose, it's Twitter and Behance, Facebook to an extent, Google Plus not so much. And then I tried Dribbble briefly, But then I found that, unfortunately, because a lot of my work's under non-disclosure agreement. So normally if you see something on my site, unless it's a magazine, it's probably at least a year old by the time it takes to make something. So Dribbble wasn't really much use to me, unfortunately, because although I've heard it's got quite a strong positive network of people, I can't show anything. I just have clients getting really angry if I start to say so.
Yeah, fair enough. No, it's fascinating to hear the ones that work for you and the ones you've got. You know, you've got there's lots of levels, isn't there? There's one that really works, Twitter, Tumblr, and the stuff that you sort of it's a good idea. The ones that kind of work are like Facebook, which you're nice and quick. You'll bung it out there, and if it does something, great. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the world, because you haven't spent ages sort of sorting things out there. So I think that's nice ones to keep bubbling under. Don't spend too long on it. And if it works, great. And then you can spend some time on it. Very, very interesting to hear how you use all that. So now I believe you have started a family with your wife.
Yeah, that was a happy accident. The illustration business with my wife. It was back when I started out within my first year. I was this is actually a good lesson for everybody to make sure you do your stretches, because I developed RSI.
All right.
And it got pretty bad. It got to the point where I couldn't physically hold my Wacom stylus. Right. It was that bad. I couldn't do anything at all. It was a shooting pain up my hand. And I had one thing. I had something that needed to be in that week, but I'd already drawn everything that needed drawing, and the rest of it just needed somebody to go through the motions on Photoshop. And so I asked my wife, who was my fiance at the time, I said, if I talk you through this, can you do this for me? And luckily, she was an amazingly quick study. She was really, really, really good with it. She just took to Photoshop way more naturally than I ever did, funnily enough. And so she finished the work, and then we'd always joked about, wouldn't it be nice if we could work together someday? And it never seemed feasible at the time, because obviously I was just starting out and bringing in very small commissions. And then the big book contracts turned up, and I thought, well, that's a lot of work. And suddenly it became like, well, okay, we need to see an accountant about this, because I'm getting a lot of money coming in. And the accountant advised that we turned it into a partnership. And Sarah really, really cut a lot of my working process down, because we used to do that. I would start the sketch, and then when it was ready, she would lay in all the flat colours so I could then jump onto it. And she'd take out a lot of the stuff which I found more dull. She would get out of the way. While at the same time, she was learning more stuff herself, which then dovetailed into her working for Photoshop Creative magazine on a regular basis. And so it was going to be one of those things. It was either going to work really well or spectacularly end in divorce. But it worked really, really well. And she's had to, since we've had kids, she's taken a step back.
Yeah.
And she's actually, she's working on something today, funny enough, for the first time in a while. So she's coming back into it now. So there'll be more stuff by her turning up on the website and various things soon. But so it's, I've been flying solo for the last couple of years.
This, you mentioned the RSI. This ties me into nicely, because I've been suffering from something similar actually for years.
Oh, right.
And it's been quite bad. So it's all about doing your stretches. Which is something I've always tried to do. I find it just hits me from time to time when I've been working, and it's not my hand, it's my neck and back related. So I've obviously been sitting like this, curled over and not stretched, not straight. So how, I mean, I guess you've been doing this for a few years now, working from home, and having children, and your wife helping you, but then not helping you so much when the children are have just come along.
Yeah.
So how do you find the old motivation working from home? and finding time for the family and all that. How do you find the work-life balance running your business from home?
Well, it changed over time. Initially, working from home, I think, as you know, you've got to be disciplined with it. I refuse to have a TV on. I've only got the radio on in the background. There are certain things I can't play a video game at all because I would just be lost for the day. And you learn a lot, like in the first year, of exactly how weak you can be. So then the restrictions start to get imposed, and I've moved my office out now, out from the kids, because it was all going well for the up till my daughter started to be able to talk.
Right.
Working with Sarah was never a problem. I'd have various things in place. Like, even though I was still at home, I'd always put on my shoes. So that would get me into work mode. I needed that physical thing to do. And it was all going really, really well until my eldest, the firstborn, she got to the point where she was talking, because suddenly she'd be at the bottom of the stairs just yelling, "Daddy, Daddy," like calling me. And I think I can't explain to her. She was too young to say, "No, Daddy needs to work. I've got to be here." And so we moved my office out now. So it's separate, and it's, again, really easy to focus now because I've just got myself in my office, so it's okay.
Oh, great. And did you find an office space easily? Was that okay? Was it expensive?
It was very easy, and it's like keep calling it an office because my dad has a three-bedroom house, and he's not using two of the bedrooms, and so I sort of cherry picked the nicest room in the house, the sort of biggest room, and then just moved everything in.
Oh, right.
Which also saves all of my office toy from being thrown away.
Oh, right.
Always after anything too geeky, and she's like, "No, you don't need this." And so it's like, "No, it's in the office. It's fine."
was it weird the first few days when you sort of moved in there and you think, "Oh God, where's the kettle? And why if I was at home, I could do this." Or did you just slip into it very nicely?
No, I slipped into it nicely. I think there's a certain level of chaos that becomes very, very natural to having kids. And when my second child turned up, everything was just insane. We had them 18 months apart. And there's a horrible guilt you feel when you're upstairs working, even though you're working to earn the money. If you can hear somebody downstairs with a child that's screaming and another one that's asking for attention, you just feel awful. And so, no, it was quite, when I moved out, it was very much, it felt like returning to basics, like the way it used to be when it was just me and Sarah, because initially it was just me by myself. And so it's like suddenly everything's quiet and you've got nothing distracting you. You're just like, right, okay, let's start the day. And you realise how much you can get done when you are by yourself.
Okay, so you've obviously got it fairly sorted now. What about the stretches you do? I mean, how's your hand these days?
Oh, it's fine now. One thing I would definitely recommend to you and to anybody else who has any niggling thing at all is that I'd suffered my RSI, or suffered through it for over a year. I mean, it initially got bad at that point, and I was always doing stuff like resting. And when the workload was getting heavy, I was trying resting wheat bags that had been heated on it just to calm the pain. And I thought, I'm not actually getting this any better. So I went to the doctors, and they recommended me to a physiotherapist because I successfully diagnosed it was RSI. And so they said, yeah, that's right. And so they took. And the physiotherapist was amazing. All I'd had, and this really solved everything, was two back cracking sessions,
really?
Which sounds horrendous. It's really not. It's literally, I got laid down and she just straightened my spine up with the thing, and it felt bizarre. It felt really, really bizarre. And when I was driving home, I was sitting up like Captain America. Yeah. I couldn't go straight. I was like, "Oh God, this is really strange."
How did she crack your back? Were you lying flat down on the thing?
Yeah,
flat down. And what did she do? Bang on your back?
You do nothing. You just hope for the best. You just hear this. You lay flat down on the table. You hear this ungodly crunch and think, that came from inside me, and And then you suddenly go, oh, God, it's uncomfortable. And then you're done. And then you say, okay, that wasn't so bad. And then you stand up. And then apparently it was something to do with over years of bad posture and slouching down. Mm. Your spine's compressed and there's a small, small channel for nerve endings to get to. And the messages aren't making it across. They're like, they're jamming and then they need to travel through. It's a sort of scientific thing. But basically, your body starts to jerk for the reaction. So I was moving my hands too quickly for my brain to go, oh no, we're over here. And then it eventually causes the damage in the nerves. Yeah. And so it was literally just two back-cracking sessions and then stretches, and it keeps me absolutely fine.
Right.
And which is just essential, because, I mean, the amount of work, I wouldn't have been able to carry on the business at a certain point. It would have got worse and worse and worse.
God, yeah.
With deadlines and workload. Yeah. So it was really, really useful. I couldn't believe it's that simple.
Yeah, well, I don't think something. I like the number of your physiotherapists, because sometimes it's not that simple for a lot of people. But I'm really glad that it was with you. And obviously, consult the experts, because the doctor put it on to the physiotherapist,
yeah.
And
yeah,
that's got to be a good way to go. So that's really great. So look, we've done a lot. I've kept you longer than 30 minutes already, but I'd love to ask you one last question.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is, if there's somebody who has maybe 2 years' experience, maybe an illustrator or maybe a designer or anybody that is wanting to make their move into a creative industry and start up on their own at home or wherever, what would be one great bit of advice that you could give them?
God, one bit of advice. I would say treat it like a business. I think it's really, really important. I think I see so many people making mistakes. I think you've got to be so aware that you're out there and people can see what you're saying. And you'll see people swear, or people offer some sort of horrifying philosophical view on something, or some religious thing, or just, I don't know, just being outright rude. And you think, no, this is you. It's like your entire online presence is now your business. So like, people will search you. You will get found out for these things. And I would say you've got to be respectful. You've got to be friendly. You've got to be professional as possible. Helping people, I think, has been a huge part of my career.
Oh.
I think, 'cause I had a lot of, I didn't learn a lot in university. I didn't get much from it. And they weren't very big on computers at all. In fact, I got quite a lot of bad looks when I said I want to use Photoshop for the first time. And I've learned a lot thanks to the online community after I finished my degree. Everything you see me do now is completely post-degree. It's all been worked out. But thanks to the really, really nice, generous people online who will just give you the time of day and try to teach you techniques and stuff and help. And I've tried to reflect that. And the stuff that I've done, the various tutorials, and I've done some stuff for free. And if anybody asks me a technique, I'll always quite willingly give it to them. Because, well, it comes across as nice. I mean, Karen Mares, who you interviewed the other week, she put me on a list of top Twitterers to follow just because of the amount of help I'd given out to people. And then that benefited me. And so it's one of those, it all comes back around. Yeah. But yeah, I'd say be professional. Don't post personal stuff about yourself on your website. Don't vent. If a client gives you trouble about something, you do not complain about it in public.
Yeah.
You've got to really think about these things. And I don't know, you've got to be grateful for it, because, I mean, ultimately, we're doing jobs that are actually quite fun.
Yeah.
I mean, you're getting paid to be creative in some way. If you're doing something you love, it's so much, so much better than working for some horrible middle manager that's like forcing you to do something for an unsatisfying job you don't like. I mean, you get to be you and do your own stuff, and it's fantastic. So I think it's got to be treated with respect.
Well, that is a fantastic, I always get a good answer whenever I ask that question. I always get a good, I mean, several answers there, but they were all good. You broke the rule, you're only meant to say one thing. It's good.
I cheated.
No, it was a good cheat. Well done, David. So David, where can people find you if they want to get you online?
People can stalk me online if they want. My website is coolsurface.com, and that's S-U-R-F-A-C-E, because I never realise, but on the phone people always hear it's service. Oh. I'm also on Twitter at David Cousins, and
Cousins is spelled C-O-U-S-E-N-S, not
that's, the road. Yeah, it's road, everybody. It really does.
Yeah,
it's very. I can hear all sorts of bizarre pronunciations of my surname when I'm out.
Yes, but, I was about yes. I won't say it, but I thought it was pronounced in another way. Let's just say it that. That's just.
Oh yeah, I've heard numerous very scary ways of saying it. So it's exactly the same. It's just a new. And I'm also I'm on the Cool Surface Tumblr, which googling that will bring it straight up. And various other places, you'll find, if you find one of my sites, you find them generally seeded around about a few other places.
Yes, I think but, a quick Google will find you pretty rapidly. But thank you very much, David, for coming on. It's really been great to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
And so that was fantastic. Thank you very much, David Cousins from CoolSurface.com. It was a pleasure talking to David. That was absolutely fantastic. All the links can be found on my site, robcubbin.com. Once again, I'll ask you to follow the link to iTunes, where you'll find the Design and Marketing podcast, where you can leave us a review. That would be great. Otherwise, I wish you a very pleasant day. Thanks a lot again for joining me. I'll be back with another interview in another 2 weeks' time. And that's all for me, Rob Cubbin. Goodbye.
Could have been anything that we wanted to be, and it's not too late to change. I'd be delighted to give it some thought. Maybe you'll agree we really aren't 2, 3, 4. We could have been anything that a real friend is worth. Good guys, shake an open hand. Maybe we'll be trusting if we try to understand. No doubt about it, it must be worthwhile. Good friends do tend to make you smile. We could have been anything that we wanted to be. Yes, that decision was ours. It's been deciding where we could divide in. Let friendship double up our powers.
You give a little love and it all comes back to you.